Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to 9R Trees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. Personal Finance 101 by Alfred Mill, part of the Adams 101 series, is a practical primer designed to help readers build everyday money competence without requiring a background in economics or accounting. It frames personal finance as a set of learnable skills, understanding cash flow, setting goals, managing debt, building savings, and investing with purpose. Rather than treating money as an abstract topic, the book emphasizes real household decisions such as choosing between paying down loans or investing, figuring out what a credit score affects, and recognizing how taxes shape take-home pay. In the spirit of the series, it aims to make core concepts approachable, organized, and actionable, so a reader can move from confusion to clarity. It is especially useful for people who want a structured overview that connects the dots between budgeting, banking, insurance, retirement planning, and major purchases. The result is a grounded starting point for creating a personal financial system that fits modern life. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, building a financial foundation with goals, budgeting, and cash flow. A central theme of a Finance 101 style guide is that progress starts with knowing where your money goes and why. The book's foundational layer focuses on turning vague intentions into measurable goals, then aligning day-to-day spending with those goals through budgeting and cash flow tracking. Readers are guided to distinguish fixed obligations from flexible spending and to understand the gap between gross income and the amount actually available after taxes and payroll deductions. This framework helps explain why people with decent salaries can still feel stuck. Unmanaged cash flow quietly absorbs opportunity. From there, the book encourages building a repeatable system, such as automating savings, planning for irregular expenses, and creating categories that reflect real priorities rather than guilt. A strong primer also highlights common friction points like lifestyle inflation, subscription creep, and impulse purchases, showing how small leaks can compound over time. By treating budgeting as a decision tool instead of punishment, the approach supports choices like saving for a move, funding education, or paying off a loan faster. The takeaway is that control comes from visibility and planning, not from perfection, and that even a simple budget can create room for investing, emergency savings, and long-term security. Secondly, saving strategies and emergency planning for real-life shocks, personal finance becomes much easier when emergencies stop turning into debt. The book emphasizes saving not only as a virtue, but as a risk management tool that protects your future choices. A typical structure begins with explaining why an emergency fund matters, what it is for, and how to size it based on expenses, job stability, and responsibilities. The book connects saving to behavioral tactics that make it realistic, setting a starter goal, automating transfers, and treating savings like a recurring bill. It also clarifies the roles of different accounts, such as checking for transactions, savings for near-term needs, and higher yield options for funds that can sit longer. Beyond emergencies, the book frames sinking funds for predictable irregular costs like car repairs, annual insurance premiums, gifts, and medical expenses. This reduces reliance on credit cards and helps smooth cash flow. Another key topic is opportunity cost. Money held in cash provides security, but too much idle cash can slow wealth building. The reader learns to balance safety and growth by separating short-term reserves from long-term investments. Overall, the saving chapter set is about building resilience, so setbacks like a job change, a broken appliance, or a medical bill do not derail bigger goals. Thirdly, debt, credit, and loans as tools you must control. Debt can either accelerate progress or trap you, depending on interest rates, repayment terms, and your cash flow. The book explains core borrowing concepts such as principal, interest, amortization, and how minimum payments extend the life of a loan. It typically differentiates revolving debt like credit cards from installment debt like auto loans, student loans, and mortgages, and shows why high-interest revolving balances are uniquely damaging. A helpful primer also demystifies credit scores and credit reports, explaining how payment history, utilization, age of credit, and new inquiries influence borrowing costs. Readers gain insight into why a strong score matters for more than loans, including insurance pricing or rental applications in many contexts. Practical guidance includes strategies for paying off debt, such as focusing on highest interest first or building momentum with smaller balances, and how to avoid common pitfalls like only paying minimums or repeatedly refinancing without addressing spending habits. The book also discusses responsible credit card use, emphasizing that rewards are not worth carrying a balance. Loan selection is another major point. Understanding fees, variable versus fixed rates, and total cost of borrowing helps prevent expensive mistakes. The overarching message is that credit is a tool, but you should be the one holding the handle. Fourthly, investing basics, risk, diversification, and long-term compounding, a Finance 101 guide aims to make investing understandable enough that a beginner can take the first steps confidently. The book focuses on the building blocks, why investing matters, how compounding works over time, and the trade-off between risk and return. It introduces common asset classes such as stocks, bonds, and cash equivalents, and explains diversification as a way to reduce portfolio volatility without eliminating risk. Readers learn the difference between trying to time the market and using a long-term plan, and why consistency often beats complexity. Fees and taxes receive attention because small percentages can meaningfully reduce outcomes over decades. The book also typically covers the role of index funds or broadly diversified funds as a simple entry point, along with the importance of matching an investment mix to your timeline and risk tolerance. Retirement accounts like employer plans and individual retirement accounts are commonly discussed in this kind of primer, including the idea of capturing employer matches and understanding contribution limits at a high level. The result is a mental model for investing that emphasizes process, define goals, choose an allocation, contribute regularly, and stay disciplined through market swings. Instead of promising quick wins, it helps readers build confidence in a steady approach that can support long-range goals like retirement, education, or financial independence. Lastly, taxes, insurance, and major life purchases that shape net worth. Beyond budgeting and investing, personal finance is heavily influenced by the systems around your money, taxes, insurance, and big purchases. The book explains how taxes affect take-home pay and why understanding brackets, withholding, and common deductions or credits can reduce surprises. It encourages readers to think of taxes as part of planning rather than a once-a-year scramble, including keeping records and anticipating changes in income. Insurance is framed as protection against catastrophic loss, with attention to common types such as health, auto, renters or homeowners, and life insurance. A key idea is evaluating coverage levels and deductibles to avoid being underinsured or overpaying for unnecessary extras. The book also highlights how major purchases, especially cars and homes, can dominate a household budget. It stresses total cost of ownership, not just the monthly payment, and urges readers to compare buying versus leasing or renting versus owning with an eye on flexibility, maintenance, and opportunity cost. For many people, these decisions determine whether investing goals stay on track. By linking taxes, insurance, and large commitments to long-term net worth, the book helps readers see personal finance as a connected system. The practical benefit is fewer financial shocks and better aligned decisions during life transitions, such as moving, changing jobs, marrying, or starting a family. In conclusion, Personal Finance 101 is best for beginners, young adults, and anyone who feels they missed an essential money education. It also suits readers rebuilding their finances after debt, inconsistent budgeting, or a major life change, because it organizes the basics into a clear sequence: stabilize cash flow, protect yourself with savings and insurance, control debt, then invest for long-term goals. The life benefit is straightforward. Better decisions become easier when you understand how everyday choices connect to credit scores, interest costs, taxes, and compound growth. That understanding reduces stress, increases confidence, and can free up money for goals that matter, from emergency resilience to retirement security. Compared with many personal finance books that lean heavily into motivation, extreme frugality, or complex investing strategies, this primer stands out by emphasizing broad coverage and simple explanations. It aims to be the kind of reference you can return to when making decisions about loans, savings targets, or workplace benefits. If you want a single starting point that connects budgeting, borrowing, investing, and taxes into one coherent map, this book is worth buying as a practical foundation before you dive into more specialized titles. If you would like to support Alfred Knill, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.